What's good, everybody, and welcome to Body Bag Podcast. I'm Chris Thomas, and with me, as always, Broke Writer Dave.
How we doing, everybody?
And back by popular demand, she is a vice principal and been highly requested to come back on the show. It's Alyssa Frost.
Hello.
And she brought with her a guest. It says here your husband is some kind of author.
Some kind of author here.
Well, hopefully he likes movies, too.
I think he might.
It's Christopher Frost. He's back, author of Walk in the Desert, and hopefully he's had a couple of other projects he's been working on since Stir of Echoes. So, Christopher, thank you for coming back on.
Thank you for having me.
I was just talking to, so you had, spoiler, we've been trying to get this episode going, I think, for 2 years.
2 years.
Hashtag parent life.
Yeah. It's okay because I think it was last year we were originally going to do it, and then
it was.
Yeah, and then just didn't happen.
Then it didn't happen. And I have not seen the original Black Christmas since that last year. I wish, damn it, that I kept my notes so I could have compared them from last year to this year. First off, a little banter. How's your Christmas season going?
Well, you know, it's nothing stressful at all.
No, you guys have kids. There's nothing stressful, I'm
nothing
sure.
Nothing stressful to- about trying to, you know, keep the magic alive for kids and, you know, boy alert, playing Santa.
I was about to say, do you put on the outfit? Do you put out the cookies and drinks and all that?
All of that.
Have you guys had this conversation of like, all right, when are we going to have the talk? When are we going to have the honest talk and break their hearts forever?
We had to break our oldest daughter's heart this year. It was literally the worst thing
ever. Oh, And I know it was because I remember when my parents broke my heart.
Oh, it's awful. But it's like, okay, so our oldest daughter is a seventh grader and we're like, yeah, can't go to school and be telling people that this
would not be responsible parents if we let you.
Exactly. And she's like one of those people that stands up for herself. So she'd say she would like go toe to toe with somebody being like, what are you talking about? Of course it's real.
How dare you badmouth Santa?
Exactly. Right. So we really had to.
You can't do that in middle school.
No.
Like you're setting the kid up to be bullied.
Go ahead and make fun of me, but I distinctly remember, and my folks have remember it too, of me being told that, me being heartbroken, but then verbally saying, well, at least I still have the Easter Bunny.
And then that was a
thing for another day.
Oh, it's so tough. Parenting is hard.
Yeah, I got that conversation really young because I think I was like 6.
Oh.
And I woke up in the middle of the night and caught my parents wrapping the presents and putting them under the tree.
Red-handed.
Yeah.
Oh.
Trying to catch Santa Claus and then, yeah.
You know, if I ever have kids, maybe, you know, why should Santa Claus get all the credit? I got these for you. I love you.
Correct.
Correct. It's my money, not the mail.
Yeah.
I mean, which is more magical, Santa Claus with his elves or a father's love who had to go out and bust his ass for 80 hours to get you this video game?
I know.
But Christmas and everything aside, have you been keeping busy writing wise?
Yes, I'm wrapping up the final edits on a book called The Missing Girls of Dunstable.
Ah, yes, I remember you told us about that in Stir of Echoes.
Yep. Haley Newland's editing it.
Ah, excellent.
So hopefully, I would say, I mean, I want it for February, but I also wanted it for Halloween this year. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you can't look out on it. Yeah.
You can't put a timeline on perfection.
Exactly.
No. in case they hadn't seen that episode, do you want to give a little spoiler-free kind of synopsis of what the story's about?
It's about this girl, Lori. Kids start going missing in the town of Dunstable, and she has this strange connection to foreseeing what's kind of happening to these girls, and she starts investigating it kind of on her own, and she gets wrapped up into the supernatural element of what's happening in Dunstable.
Where's Dunstable?
It's the same town that 396 takes place in.
So this is a shared universe?
Or
it's just an amazing coincidence?
Yeah. Sort of. It's not like an MCU sort of thing, but same town.
Yeah.
Hey, if you guys want to start writing some fanfic to make it all connect,
there you go.
Yeah.
So is this the one that you've been focusing everything on since Walk in the Desert?
This is the one I've been waiting for the edits on. I wrote a vampire story in between Walk in the Desert and this one.
Ooh, and what? And that one is?
That one is called He Who Does Not Sleep.
He Who Does Not Sleep.
I'm going to have to read that one, yeah.
That one is not Twilight.
Thank you.
It does not shimmer.
Disappointed, Dave?
Yeah. Best part of Twilight, shimmering vampires.
I mean, I was. Let's
Were you a Twilight girl?
Yeah, she was. She was.
Listen, Christopher took me to every single one.
Well, that's because he loves you. But I mean,
that's true love right there.
Exactly.
Me and my friends, like, we do every couple of months we do a bad movie night, and we're pretty darn sure that watching that movie gave my friend COVID. because he was completely fine and healthy, and then like the day after we watched it, he tested positive.
Oh gosh.
And I can't necessarily blame him, because my sister, I don't know if she was necessarily into it, but if she watched it just because it was like one of those where it's like, well, I watched the first two, I kind of have to see where it goes. But I just remember one day she said, she offered me, hey, you want a free movie? I'll pay for all your snacks. I'm like, okay, what are you going to go see? Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2. I was like, you know, not only am I not interested in, but I'm not going to know what's going on. I haven't seen anything. But,
yeah,
you know,
free snack.
Yes. I mean, I said yes, obviously.
Yeah.
But God, I you know, I'm not going to shit on anybody who likes what they like, but it was kind of a rough watch. Maybe a little, but it was a rough watch.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can get behind Jacob imprinting on a little girl.
Fair.
Yeah, that's just
fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So many messed up things in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think I can forgive, I don't know which one came first, but didn't like Twilight give birth to the person who like made 50 Shades or something?
Yes.
So I can't forgive it for that either.
Yeah.
Oh, hello, train.
Yeah, right on time.
Oh, 7:07?
Yeah. Every time we record it, doesn't matter the time.
It really does not matter the time. We've recorded at 2 in the afternoon and it still manages to.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd like to think that he's our biggest supporter.
Yeah.
You know what? I agree.
I like to think that maybe somehow he's like intercepting it over the line or something like that and is listening. And
exactly.
But anyway, the book is He Who, or is it a book or a short story? He Who Does Not Sleep.
It's a book.
A book? Okay. Yeah. So it's one that I can get so we can get a giveaway going?
Not yet. I don't have it out yet.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, when it does. And
when it does, I'll obviously send you copies.
Yeah. It'll be an excellent pairing with the book to come out in February, hopefully. If it does.
Yeah, I'm on a huge monster kick right now. I don't know why.
Well, I was going to say, well, it certainly couldn't be because like Nosferatu's coming out this month too.
So. I know, right? I'm so stoked.
Eggers? I didn't like The Lighthouse.
Robert Eggers.
I didn't like The Lighthouse, but I liked The Witch.
Yeah.
So. I like The Witch. The Lighthouse, I think I fell asleep.
Yeah, same.
So thank you.
At least we all know that visually it's going to be stunning.
Yes.
Whether it's stunning or not, that's up in the air.
I feel like all of this is just putting off the fact that we're supposed to be reviewing a movie that has already been put out that Alyssa does not like.
Two thumbs down.
Right.
If you want, we can slowly start making our way towards that. It is the Christmas season, and we have been trying to get this going for 2 years. So just brace it. But you know what? You don't know. This was me rewatching it for the first time, and we don't know what my thoughts were for last year when I watched it for the first time. So maybe you're not alone. Maybe Dave or I might have our own gripes with it.
Fantastic.
Are recording it at a perfect time. 2 days from the day we're recording this, will be the 50th anniversary from when this movie was released in the
oh
U.S.
Oh my gosh.
Is it
hilarious.
really?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
December 20th, 1974.
Wow.
But Christopher, you disappointed me. So you haven't seen any of the other two?
No, I started watching the one. It must be the one from 2006 because Michelle Trachtenberg, the girl from Buffy,
Yeah.
She was in it.
We had so much fun watching that one.
We actually like.
And I love the cast in that movie too.
It has my girl Mary Elizabeth Winstead in it.
Katie
And,
Cassidy, Lacey Chabert, yeah.
Now, we'll go ahead and admit that it is not a good movie.
No, not in the slightest, but...
They're talking about the 2006 one. Calm down.
Calm down. We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
I can't calm down. It's stressful.
2006 version is not a good movie, but we... I don't know if I can get behind you saying it's as bad as Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
All right. So maybe not that bad because it does have a stellar cast.
Yeah.
If you're in the right mood for some like over the top weird gore that just goes in like weird directions, I mean, you ain't watching Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
No.
When you're watching it, I mean, it's a slasher movie and yeah, it gets weird. Like you said, you couldn't follow. I mean, it gets
the
incesty.
Bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
It gets incesty. You got Christmas cookies made of human flesh. Yeah. I don't know if you got that far.
Yeah, I did. It was kind of like that same time period with like, I Know What You Did Last Summer and
it was a lot of those kind of
Final
movies.
Final Destination, all those cookie cutter horror movies.
Cookie cutter.
Yeah.
and you haven't seen the 2019 version either.
No, I didn't even know there was one until you told me.
Okay, so we're
that one is the story's terrible. And it's also boring to the point where you're constantly checking how much longer the movie has left when you're watching it.
surely you probably heard some of the people talking about how it is very, I don't want to say, I always hesitate to use this word because I hate saying the word woke because it's just used too much for whoever
when
wants
people
to use
like,
it.
Oh, a 12. Yeah. But no, this movie is like actually goes to that extreme where it's like,
fuck the patriarchy. Like, what? This is Black Christmas. What are you talking about? Fuck the patriarchy.
Yeah. Right. Now I'm going to have to tune in just to see how bad it is.
Are you trying to mansplain to me? Mansplain? This is supposed to be a slasher. What are you talking about? Mansplain.
Right.
Yeah, and it takes an actress I really enjoy, like Imogen Poots, and makes her like unbearable to watch.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh, so I hear her laughing. Have you watched it?
No, but heard about it.
Yeah.
It is as bad as people say.
Hilarious. And,
but we'll touch on that because I definitely want to go over the evolution of this franchise because it is baffling to me, like how you have three movies all with the same name, but completely different in very weird ways. Like I was telling Christopher, it goes supernatural in 2019.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's like in the writer for 2026, kind of stream, like, kind of skim the Wikipedia of the original and went,
I got it.
I got the gist of this, yeah.
All right, but let's travel back in time to 1974.
Yeah.
Oof.
Excellent year, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Wasn't right, before it, yeah.
One thing that's similar takes place at a sorority house, and you're following a group of sorority sisters. This group of sorority sisters, I will say, is the only group of sorority sisters in any of the versions that actually seem to like each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
they seem like they actually enjoy each other's company and give a shit.
Right.
That's one thing just right off the bat that the other two were just not. You're like, God, you guys are in this sorority house, but you guys feel like you can't stand each other.
Yeah.
Right.
And we got the motor. We have our big villain, the Moaner, as he's initially called.
Yeah.
Which
she can't. She's not even gonna make it through without laughing her ass.
I can't take it.
She's just remembering all the weird stuff that he would say on the phone.
Oh my!
She just hates it so much.
It's even the names that kills me.
What's hilarious? All right, so you have this prank caller. You know, a rapscallion, but they call him the Moaner, who calls up the sorority house. And all right, I'm giving a point to Alyssa on this one. I think I know it's supposed to be disturbing, like hearing this, I'm gonna lick you, bitch, and you're a piggy,
I think you could definitely see how the times have changed.
Uh huh.
Where in 1974, that was like being really edgy
now. It just
nowadays.
Sounds like anybody who's on like Fortnite.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's also like, oh, I don't want to hear anybody ever say that.
Alyssa, thoughts?
It's spot on. I mean, literally, he sounds like he's mumbling. He has like a scarf over his face. Like, it is not scary. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. I hear more disturbing things on any time I go play an online video game.
Correct.
Duty catalogs.
I hear more disturbing things in school during the school day. Let's be real.
So I will give a point to that, because I remember watching when I was rewatching it, and then I was like, oh yeah, I remember this just kind of being very weird. And what's even weird is they just kind of let him talk.
They just stay on the phone for like minutes, like,
and you're like, can't you just hang up? Like, hello.
Well, it's 1974. They have nothing else to do.
Let the man say his piece.
Yeah.
Let him speak his mind and let him hang up the phone.
Let him speak his mind, and then we'll tell him politely that he has the wrong number.
Right, but like...
We have a group of sorority sisters. I don't remember all their names. I remember, I think, there's Jessie.
Yeah, she's the British one, I think.
There's Barb.
Barb, the drunk one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Claire, the first victim.
The odd one out. I was trying to fit in, yeah.
Yeah, the odd one trying to fit in, getting ready to pack. She's going to meet her dad to get out of town.
Yeah.
And the house mother, who's in both the 2006 version and this one, my favorite character has always been the house mother.
Yeah.
Just always drunk.
Yeah.
How
else are you going to cope?
She's always drunk, and she's always drunk, and you can tell she cares about it. She kind of cares, but at the same time, she's like, look, these sorority sisters are going to sorority. They're gonna hump, they're gonna smoke, they're gonna drink. It's college.
Yep.
I'm just here to make sure that, you know, I'm here to make sure that they don't drive after they've been drinking, and to make sure that no boys get up in this place.
Correct.
And funny too. This was a funny movie. Like, weirdly, like it's a slasher movie, but has some weirdly funny, way more funny moments than any of the other two combined.
Yeah.
Oh, so you will agree on that.
I will agree on that, but half of the time I was laughing because of how bad it was.
Okay, that's fair enough, but I mean, they're being in. Okay, so I, like I already said, we have Claire trying to get out of Dodge for the holidays. She's not really feeling the Christmas spirit in the sorority house, and of course, her being the outcast, she's the outcast, but weirdly the most iconic, because she gets killed and offed, and her face is the face of Black Christmas.
Yeah.
Right.
She is the face on the poster, the one who has the bag over her face. She gets basically killed, but before she gets killed, we see... Now, this is something I thought was creepy, and I'm never really creeped out by POV shots, but you see, like, the point of view of just some creepy dude outside who just climbs up into the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Dave, I'm going to let you take over, because I think I've been talking way too much. Sorry, I get into it.
It's just one of those things where it's like, it's scary because... the reality of this could actually happen. And you think back in the times of like the 70s, before there was really, you know, a big fetish with serial killers in a lot of like small towns.
Mm-hmm.
Most people left their doors and windows unlocked.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, think about the Night Stalker.
Yeah.
Well, I believe they said that this whole story was based off of that. Was it the urban legend or an actual case of the person who... the call is coming from inside the house, that when a stranger calls, kind of deal.
I don't know if that's an urban legend, but I feel like it's happened.
Yeah, I think that was a true story, because I think When a Stranger Calls was based on that.
So I believe that the director, if I read correctly, did take inspiration from that story.
Yeah.
And I don't know if
the movie came out first, When a Stranger Calls or Black Christmas.
And I don't know if it came during Christmas time either.
Yeah.
Then
it goes into Scream too. Yeah. Does the same thing.
When a Stranger Calls was 1979.
Okay.
Okay.
So this came before.
Oh yeah.
So this is very much When a Stranger Calls, but When a Stranger Calls stole from Black Christmas.
Oh yeah. My God.
Yeah. When a Stranger Calls to the extreme. This guy just stays in the house for a couple of days too.
So all right. So I got to ask. Like, at this point, Claire gets killed. Nobody notices.
Yeah. Because all the things she thought.
I know.
First victims.
Well, she was taken off. So. Yeah.
it's a harsh thing to say. Claire gets killed. Nobody notices. Yeah. And they don't notice for quite a bit of time, in all honesty.
I think, what was it, like 1:30 in the afternoon the next day when her dad's like,
yeah, where's my daughter?
Yeah, I was supposed to meet her like 2 hours ago. She never showed up.
All right. So I got to ask, at this point, what are you laughing at, Alyssa? What is bad at this point? What are you giggling, snickering over there?
I'm laughing because it's just the absurdity of it. Like, no one notices that she gets killed. Are you kidding?
Well, it had to be the outcast. Everybody would have known that Barb got killed because it would have gotten weirdly quiet.
Yeah.
Fair, but just, I don't know. Just something about it just is hilarious.
I mean, you do have to suspend your disbelief because it's happening right upstairs.
Correct, I mean, exactly.
And then takes her up to the attic and no one notices that.
Drags her up the attic. Like,
exactly.
I don't know if it was a pull-down ladder. I don't think it was.
I don't think it was either, but it is a small hole to get up there.
So he had to super jump or find a ladder and haul her up there.
Right, yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like, what?
All right, that one I'll concede to. That hole in the ceiling was small to get one person through.
Like, was he pulling the ladder back up through that hole too?
Well, there was a
make a lot of noise.
There was a pulley system we saw up there. Did he hook her and then like
pull her up?
I mean, who knows?
I don't think they thought that part through.
I feel like we need like a little a board here to be like, all right, that's a point for Alyssa. All right, bad movie.
Yes.
All right, now that's a point over here. Yeah, but it did have some humor. And okay, point Chris. Good movie.
I would definitely win. Let's be honest.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. That dynamic between the house mother and Claire's father, that was pretty funny.
That was hilarious. She's just being inappropriate at all the inopportune moments and him looking at her. That was very, like sitcom-y.
I can't believe I let my daughter stay with this woman, yeah.
You're like, what was I thinking?
Dude, it's kind of your fault. You sent her to a sorority.
I mean,
what do you expect?
So the most of the movie is everybody basically going, where's Claire?
Yeah.
Once they figured out, oh yeah, Claire's missing, and talk to the bumbling police deputy numerous times.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
That's one thing that stayed the same.
At the same time too, like,
yeah, but, what a moron that guy was.
Yeah, that's something that kind of stuck around in the 2019 version. I'll just go ahead and tell you, in the 2019 version, didn't like all these girls say, oh, so and so is missing and blah blah blah, or damn it, Dave, help me out here. The police said something that was just so ridiculous.
He's probably just with a boy somewhere, some shit like that.
Probably just with a boy somewhere, or I think they also had like people calling the house and he's like, ah, it's just probably some pranksters.
Yeah, boys will be boys. I think
boys will be boys. Yeah. Yes. That's what he said, like, boys will be boys. And I was like, dude, can you do your job?
Right, like, no worries, she's missing. It's fine.
But to be fair, when they eventually report her missing, you have Barb's inappropriate ass over there saying, oh, yeah, what street? Oh, yeah, Fellatio Street.
Yeah.
As for the phone number to the sorority house, she's like, Fellatio? Yeah. What's a new extension? And like, gives them a number.
So, like, it's like, hey, if you're not taking it seriously, why should I?
Yeah.
Right.
I love Barb.
Yes, I love Barb too. Barb is funny when she has just enough to drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. Barb goes through about 3 packs of cigarettes in that movie. Yeah.
Yes. She's over there like giving little kids alcohol too at the Christmas party.
Yeah.
Sitting there telling inappropriate stories about sex to like the Claire's father. And
then was it her boyfriend who was Santa?
I love that dude.
Inappropriate things while kids are on his lap.
They were made for each other.
Yeah.
Eventually we get, would you say that our next, I don't know if there's like a main character, but we have another main character by the name Jesse.
Yeah. The one with the British, trying to hide her British accent.
I was going to say, I think her acting is probably.
I think the actress is actually British, but I don't know if the character was supposed to be British.
She definitely was.
I think the character was
definitely supposed to be, because I don't know if she was trying to get rid of it, but I was like, man, this woman's delivery is pretty bad. She is pregnant.
Yeah.
And
the actress is British, so.
Okay.
Is she? Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, she's
Lydia Hussey. Yeah, she's British, so I think she just couldn't do a North American accent.
I didn't think that she was trying to hide it, because it sounded very obvious to me that she was British. But she's pregnant, and she doesn't want to be pregnant, and we get introduced to her boyfriend, Peter, who... All right. I have a whole tangent that I got to get in my head correctly, so Dave, yeah. Go.
So basically, you got Jesse telling Peter, like, hey, I'm pregnant. And then Peter kind of gets excited, and then she's like, yeah, I'm going to have an abortion. Which I would think for 1974 was kind of like...
controversial.
Yeah, like a very controversial thing to put in a movie.
And it certainly felt like an actual dilemma that a couple would have.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Because my big... this is where I'm going to start shitting on 2019. They were trying so hard to create a conflict between males and females in the movie. You had the fraternity and you had the sorority. You had the fraternity just straight out date raping women.
Yeah.
And then you had the other extreme, the sorority sisters shitting on dudes who weren't even doing anything.
Yeah.
Saying, fuck you and the patriarch and the man.
Like, even the poor guy who was sitting there helping him almost the entire movie. And he's like, what is your guys' problem?
I just put up your tree.
Yeah.
Like,
I have been helping you guys out. This is time.
And you could tell this dude has been hearing it every single day. And he said those lines, not all men.
Yeah.
He said, not all men. And then that triggered, I don't remember the woman's name, but that triggered her to the saying that, did you just not all men me? And it's like, oh my God.
Like, you could tell the script wanted it to make the movie where everyone turns against the guy now, like the viewers mm-hmm. are supposed to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Quite where we all kind of got behind him and we're like, he's kind of right.
He's kind of right. Whereas this movie actually had a problem between a man and a woman that would actually happen.
Yeah.
Yep.
And had conversations. They managed to make him look like an asshole. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Peter's a controlling, damn near, going to be an eventual psychopath, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I think for the 70s, that's probably a lot of guys.
Yes, probably a lot of guys.
Yeah, thinking, yeah. Yeah.
But mm-hmm. he felt like an actual person.
Yeah.
But I mean, he was, because at certain points I was like, okay, he seems okay. And then other instances, like, we're going to get married.
Yeah.
And you're going to have this baby. And I was like, okay, dude, I was giving you a couple points.
Yeah.
Nah. And now you're losing your shit. Because she's like, hey, look, which I always find it funny because she dropped in on him. And his first reaction when he says it is like, how could you do this to me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, okay, wait a second.
Yeah. Fairly certain you were there too.
Sure.
On the day before my recital or hours before my recital, you're gonna tell me this?
Like, how dare you? Yeah.
How dare you? And we are gonna talk about this later. He's like, all right, man, dude, just go to your recital. We'll talk about it later.
We'll deal with you later, yeah.
And this is a man who obviously does not take rejection very well. Because, spoiler alert, he doesn't do well at the recital.
No.
And
then he just destroys his piano afterwards.
And I was like, you know, that's school property. Like, you can't just, that's not your piano.
Right.
You're paying for that.
You're paying for that. And then he says, I'm quitting. But that's later on down the line. But, so yes, I call him Peter the psychopath because that dude's eventually going to grow, you know, to be a serial killer.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
He's allegedly bipolar, at least, because he was going through a lot of highs and lows.
Mm-hmm. I kept deleting a lot of sentences off of my notes every time he. I was like, okay, he seems like he's calmed down a little bit, and like you are going to have this baby, or you're gonna okay, maybe not. Then retype it back. So
because at first you kind of got it, because she didn't say like, hey. I'm pregnant, having an abortion all of a sudden. She said, hey, I'm pregnant. Dude got super excited, and then she's like, I'm not keeping it. I'm having an abortion.
To be fair, it could be like, can we at least talk about it for a minute? Like,
yeah.
Like,
right.
And I feel like that's a conversation that would probably crush a lot of guys if they get that excited about the prospects of being a father.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not keeping it.
Flips
off a handle. It's like,
Well, usually I think sometimes you would assume the guy's the one that's going to be like, you're not keeping it, right?
Yeah.
Well, that to by today, like I'd say today's guy would probably, it would be more flipped on that.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you would think that it would be like, so what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, you know, we have our whole lives ahead of us. That was her saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
man, I got dreams. I got aspirations. I'm not going to put on the cook outfit and give up my dreams. I want to be a, I don't know what she wants to be, but she wants to finish
college.
She doesn't
want to be a mom.
She doesn't want to be a mom. That's for damn sure.
She just said she has dreams. Never said what they were, but she has them.
But long story short, I still feel that Peter felt like an actual person and not a parody of one.
Yeah.
I'll get to that later. So for the first half of the movie, it's still, where's Claire? And Miss is her name Miss Mac, the house mother?
Yeah, Miss McHenry.
Miss McHenry. Her drunk ass has taken Claire's father all around, trying to help find leads. Like talking to her best friend, talking to her boyfriend. Eventually, you know, they go back to the police. Say, hey, there is at least one competent police officer there, the head of police there.
Yeah. Yeah. Then Claire's boyfriend just rushes into the police station to start an accident. Seriously, like, what the hell is your problem, man?
Police love it when you do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
For sure.
You need to start taking this seriously. And then Nancy's dad comes in and is like, hey, what's going on here?
You said Nancy's dad?
Yeah. I don't know his name, but it's the actor that plays Nancy's dad in A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, I was like, who's Nancy? You mean Claire's father in the movie?
No, yeah, John Sheriff. Yeah.
Sorry.
Cop, yeah.
Yeah, the competent cop. Okay, yeah, sorry.
Fuller,
yeah. So he was pleasant to see. He's actually like, and they give him some levity or some balance too. He's like, yeah, this is serious, but he's also like, I don't know the incompetent cop's name, but he's even kind of semi giggling. He's like, fellatio, huh? You wrote that down, huh? Fellatio.
I think in that scene, the other cop that was in the scene, just in the background,
just laughing.
I think he genuinely broke character and was just laughing his ass off, and they just kept in the movie.
They probably didn't tell him that Barb had said that in the earlier scene.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if it was related, but at the same time, they eventually get a search party going. All right, we got to find Claire, and I believe another girl was missing, correct?
A missing Janice? 15-year-old, yeah.
I think it was Janice, I believe, is the young girl missing, so let's get a search party. Meanwhile, throughout the entire thing, the moaner is still calling the sorority house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And still piggy, bitch, you know. From, again, point to you, Alyssa. He's saying all this loud stuff from upstairs. Like, and we eventually, I mean, we know this. He broke up into the house and he's in the attic yelling. He's yelling, doing multiple voices. He's doing his stand-up routine upstairs. And what?
Why is there a phone in the attic? Because I don't think there was cordless phones back then.
I guess it was the 70s. I don't know.
Good point.
Wired it through the wall.
Maybe. Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, at some point, I think we also just kind of have to say, like, dude, why are you asking these questions for? It's a slasher movie, man. He has to be able to make the phone calls.
Yeah. But from the attic while people are there, I don't get.
Doing. All right. So, okay. Go ahead, Alyssa. We're about like at the halfway point in this movie here. At what point were you like, okay, I'm not. This ain't for me. So I'm just going to
way earlier than that. I was like, okay, listen, this is just not my jam.
You probably right when Billy or whatever moaner guy first started calling, you were probably, okay, this is. Yeah.
I've watched a lot of horror movies because Christopher loves them, and that was whew.
All right. Well, let me gauge you real quick. Yeah. What is like? Let's stay in the slasher genre or serial killer genre. What is one that you prefer? So I have something to compare it to, or do you just not like slashers?
You liked My Bloody Valentine.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So
you yes. like the Friday the 13th. With Jared Padalecki.
Well, yeah, duh.
But, I mean, I think she likes Padalecki more than the movie.
Yeah, I mean, let's be real.
For me, it's Danielle Panabaker.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think that she's a really big slasher.
Enthusiast.
Yes.
No, I think they're just like, I think it's like too far-fetched for me.
Like, they walk, they run. How does he catch them?
Exactly.
She just laughs.
I mean... I did. If I'm with a group, I do too. Slashers used to be those kind of movies that I would get together with friends, and then we would just place bets on. All right, I think that person's gonna win or live. I think that person's gonna die first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Slashers are never meant to be like great, compelling stories.
Correct. But
like there's only like maybe like two or three that you could really name being really good stories in a slasher movie.
We used to watch them as kids because we'd get to see boobs. I mean,
True. This is also true.
this was pre-internet, so you know, watching Friday the 13th, you were guaranteed some boobs.
Christopher has a way of just cutting through all the bullshit and just saying, let's be real here.
We want the boobs.
We want to see the boobs here.
Friday the 13th 5 was literally directed by a porn director.
There
My
you go.
hormones are raging. I'm a teenager. But but no boobs in this one.
No.
For a slasher type movie, there is some blood, but
But this
I'd
was,
just
you
say by
know, not over
today's
the top.
standards, it was pretty tame. You don't really see like knife going into skin.
Yeah, but this was pre,
Unless I
I
blinked.
mean, Friday the 13th, so this was like level for the area at the time, you know? Like they didn't go over it.
Well, I think Halloween's a few years later than that. I think that's what,
Yeah, this one came.
78, 79.
Yeah, I think Halloween came 5 years later.
And that doesn't have a whole
Two?
lot of blood in it either.
Yeah. And then what was it, 2 years later or a year later, Friday the 13th came out. And the
Yeah, I
first
think.
one doesn't have a ton of blood in it, but it pushed Halloween 2 to be more gory, and then they just kind of kept pushing each other from there. Yeah. Is Chris still here, or did he get booted?
No.
I don't know. Booted, it sounds like.
He just kind of got cut out. Yeah. Yeah, he just messed with.
Maybe the moaner got him.
Yeah, the motor got him.
It is Christmas time.
Yeah.
Testing 1, 2.
Oh, there you are. We thought the motor got you.
Thank you, got him again.
Oh, he's gone again.
Yeah, and I can't hear y'all either.
Oh, there you are.
We
You're
can
back
hear
in. Yeah,
you.
and I can't hear y'all either.
Oh, he is he gone?
I think he's gone.
So y'all can hear me.
We can
Oh, but I
hear
can't
you.
hear you. What is
Yeah.
happening? All right, give me a sec. Okay, I can talk again.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear
Yeah, I
you.
can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. All right. So, all right. I'm doing it headphoneless.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, so y'all just heard me kind of like scrambling around, like, oh, I don't think they can hear me. Oh, weird.
Yeah, we're like, we're. Yeah.
Chris, I'm here. Take over, Dave. I don't even remember what I was even saying.
I don't remember where we were at. We're
We were
talking
just
about
talking
the
about the lack.
boner getting
Talking about
in.
the lack of blood.
Oh
Oh
yeah, lack
yeah,
of blood, yeah.
I was saying I said there was a lack of there really wasn't a whole lot of blood, and then I heard like nothing. I was like, okay, maybe I should expand. I was like, you never see actual knife going into body part. Like I'm losing them. I'm losing them.
And then we basically just went like for the time, yeah, that's how it was until Halloween followed by Friday the 13th.
So I wonder why,
Because
because
I
that
don't
was.
think Psycho had very much blood either. That came before this.
So I wonder why we gave. I'm willing to give this a pass, but in 2019, one of the big things that I said was it always cut away from the violence.
Because that was a movie made in 2019 where you have a expectation of gore and fun.
Plus, they tried to make a Black Christmas movie PG-13.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Where
what's
in
the point?
a 1974 movie, you understand that they didn't really do that at that time. Yeah.
I think and then I was like, I think 'cause shortly after that, then we watched Happy Death Day, and I was like, this is how you do a PG-13 slasher.
Yeah.
So where we are in the story wise, everyone's looking for Claire now. You got an angry boyfriend. We still now and at this point, Miss Mac is getting ready to go out. I don't know if she was getting ready to leave town or join the search party or something, but she's getting ready to leave, and she's off. She goes up into the attic, sees Claire, who's like.
Bag still on face.
Stop laughing.
Claire, I think she heard because she hears me sigh because I'm going to say something.
Well, actually, I think she went up to the attic because she was looking for booze.
No,
Probably.
she was looking for her cat.
Oh, some yeah.
And for you know, Claire's body is propped up in front of a window. We see that at the end. Like her body doesn't move. It's like displayed out in the window.
Yeah, all the way to the end.
All the way to the end, nobody notices. Everyone's looking for Claire, and Claire's like right there, like
In the attic window.
it's just right there in the attic window. Nobody bothers to Like, oh, there she is. Yeah, so Miss Mac gets off. So now we have two bodies up in the attic. And I don't know how long.
And then shortly followed by three, that you don't know if it's part of the story or not, they find the 13-year-old in the river.
Yeah, so bodies are starting to pile up here. And what I was getting with the attic, I don't know how long a body has to be dead for before it starts to smell. I guess it takes a little bit of time, because I know, so far we have Claire that's been up there for, I'm thinking, 2 days now.
Yeah.
Miss Mac is now fresh. She's up there. So our comic relief is gone, except if, unless you count Barb.
Yeah, or Sergeant Nash, incompetent police officer he is.
Yes. He's such a good cop.
So now they start taking the moaner complaints pretty seriously. Like, all right, we're gonna tap your phone here.
Seriously, Nash, you didn't put it together that the calls are coming to the same house where the missing girl is from?
Well, I mean,
that was serious.
I think that like, I mean, who would think that the phone calls are coming from inside the house?
But at that point, it would have been worth a look a little bit sooner.
I mean, they do go inside the house. And they do, and they are like, well, we need to see every room in this house. What about this room? Ah, nah, just let her sleep.
Yeah.
should we look in this room? Ah, nah.
That's Barb. She's sleeping off a bender.
Let's just leave her. Like, I know we're, yes. Let's search every inch of this house except the two spots where the killer is. So they tap the phone, and man, it must have been a pain in the ass to have to, like, trace phone calls back then, because it was manual.
Yeah,
what was it? One cop went down to the phone station.
Rushing down aisles and aisles of phone calls going on. And it's like, and given this responsibility to the girls, you have to keep them on the line for, they don't say how long, just a long time. Keep them on the line as long as possible.
And that's when he kind of felt bad for she just had to sit there and listen to the shit forever.
We get to hear the moaner shtick for a little bit, a couple times.
And then the next call is from her boyfriend, Peter, who's drunk.
Drunk and distraught.
Yeah.
And kind of sounding like the killer. Please, baby, please. Don't kill the baby. Like, like you said, the dude is bipolar. The dude is going, if he wasn't going to kill anybody today, he was definitely going to kill somebody somewhere down the line.
Yeah, he's a little messed up.
He's a little messed up. Like, and I can only, like, feel bad for him to a certain extent. Yeah. Like, I get it, dude. Like, you want to be a dad, and you had a shitty recital.
Yeah.
I know, you're having a bad day.
Sorry about the recital.
I feel like when we meet Peter, he's just one of those really high-strung people, and that was one of the days where he just finally snapped.
I think I also just think he's crazy because he has that Malcolm McDowell haircut of A Clockwork Orange. Mm-hmm. He looks like Alex from A Clockwork Orange, so I just automatically think he's going to kill somebody.
Oh, yeah.
So the police, rightly so, think that
Peter's the killer, yeah.
Yeah, who was that dude I saw, like, storming up out of here the day that Claire went missing, or the day that so-and-so went missing and these bodies started piling up? This dude just, like, left in a huff. Maybe we should question that guy.
Incompetent police force.
Yeah. Like, I guess there's only, like, two or three police officers in this town.
Right.
Because I would think that the police chief would want to kind of stick around where the action's happening.
Yeah, and you think at this point it's probably, if you're in a small town, but this has a college in it, so you'd think there'd be more police. But if there's not, this is probably the time when you call on the state cops.
I keep forgetting that this is a college campus. This isn't just like a neighborhood, this is a college campus.
Yeah.
So he's going to, Fuller's going to go question Peter, leaving Barb's asleep.
Yeah.
Jesse is up and about, and so was her other sorority sister, Phil's. Is that what they call her?
Phil, yeah.
Phil, like, I guess it's short for Phyllis.
Yeah.
People just keep coming up into the house. At some point, some members of the search party even just come busting up, not busting up in the house, but just knocking up and saying, "Hey, be careful. There's some people on the loose," and blah blah blah. And they jokingly are like, "Oh, I'd rather deal with the killer than these two bumbling goose." Like, you're gonna kind of regret saying that,
right?
If you knew it was to come, you probably would have invited these guys in.
Yeah, and then you also got Christmas carolers coming out, and they go out of the house like, "What are you guys doing? Like, get the kids out of here! People are missing and dead."
Yeah, this is the murder house. Get the
call their parents.
Kids out of here.
Yeah.
But it was a pretty disturbing scene because at that point, when the carolers are here, Barb is also killed via shanked with a glass something or other. Was it a unicorn head or something? Well, it was some kind of icicle looking stabbing thing, all set to the tune of Joy to the World or whatever the kids were singing.
Yeah.
That's always fun.
So Barb's dead. So now we have three bodies in two separate parts of the house. And again, nobody's heard anything.
And then, you know, Jess and Phillips are making jokes about, let's really just deal with the killer.
You know, the more and more I keep saying that out loud, the more, like, Alyssa has a good point. I mean, these kills are happening in the next room. I mean, I'm sure Barb must have been screaming. I mean, I guess you could say that the carolers were drowning out the noise, but I mean, not blood-curdling screams.
Maybe he covered her mouth. I don't know.
Oh, he didn't.
Nope.
No, she, or maybe they were just very considerate murder victims. Where it's like, I don't want to make a scene.
I don't want to ruin what you got going on.
Right? I don't want to ruin your moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is your moment. This is your time.
This is your time. You earned it. Like you got me. You snuck up on me when I, you know, you caught me slipping. You got me. So Barb's dead. We have Miss Mac upstairs who got with a hook, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Claire's up there. We have Janice, who was killed out in the out in the I guess it was a forest, or not forest, but like a park. All the while, there's a cop, you know, out standing guard in his police cruiser whilst all this is happening.
With a nice slit throat.
Yeah, with a slit throat that we eventually find out. So.
And then they find out the call's coming from inside the house.
Yeah, so finally, after like three more calls later of Piggy, Billy, no, Agnes, we find out Deputy Doofus was told one specific thing. All right, we found out that the calls are coming from inside the house. For God's sakes, don't tell Jesse that the guy is inside the house. Just tell her to get out of there.
Yeah.
Right, you had one order. One order.
I will kill you if you mess this up. I will murder you.
And then he calls her. He's like, hey, leave. And she goes, why? And he goes, oh, killer's in your house.
Killer's in your house.
And that's like, a phone call.
I mean, that dude, I mean, his bumbling antics are probably funny around the station on a normal, like on a light day.
Yeah,
but this is not the time for your antics. And so, of course, she now, as I'm saying all this out loud, I'm not just like why would she go upstairs?
Well, she tells him, she's like, I have to go get Barb and Phil. She doesn't know they're dead yet. And she got told to leave the house. She's like, I got to go get them too because they're here.
Right, Dave, start screaming up the stairs.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna say right now, I give you full permission. Leave my ass, dude. Like if the cops like, she, by the way, she was downstairs. If you yell up twice, yo, Chris, and I don't answer, dude, you can leave. Like I absolve you of any guilt. You leave.
Hey, yo, Chris, killer's in the house. We gotta go.
Yeah, we gotta go, dude. Yeah, that I'll be appreciative that you made that much. I'd be appreciative that you made that much of an effort.
Yeah.
You can even be saying that as you're walking out the door. I'll even accept a text message.
Yeah,
there you go. Text them, get out.
Hey, text them, get out, don't ask any questions.
Yeah, I think this is where 2006 got it better than this one. Is in 2006, it's an actual blizzard.
Yeah, they can't go anywhere.
Can't leave.
Yeah, I mean, they can, but I mean...
It's you're facing the force of nature killer. It's like,
but then again, in that version... That wasn't like the only house on the block, was it? I mean, they could have went next door, couldn't they?
Yeah.
Well, movie logic, they couldn't. It's impossible. So I guess Jesse's now armed with a poker, fireplace poker, and she's like, she goes upstairs. She yells bloody murder for Barb and Phyllis, and they're not answering. And she goes upstairs, and she stumbles across the bodies. There they are, there on the bed.
Not in the attic.
Nope. He didn't have time to drag them up.
No. And meanwhile, then he's looking at her. I love that in 2006, they tried to give Billy like some kind of background to why he would be saying stuff like Billy and Agnes, because he's just saying weird shit in this movie.
Yeah.
Like there's no reason that we don't know who this Billy person is, this Agnes, whatever he's saying. This dude is just crazy. He's a nut.
Yeah.
He's just speaking gibberish.
Yeah. It's almost like it being unknown makes him a little bit more scarier. It's like,
because we still don't know to this day what this guy looks like.
Yeah.
have a little chase scene.
She gets a good
knock on him. I kind of slams him a little bit in between the door and the wall.
Runs downstairs, can't get the door open.
And he's like, I guess he's like, ah, oh well. Runs. Here's the door, closes. And then who comes around the corner? Or who comes and rears his head? Old Pete.
Well, she locks herself in the basement because she couldn't get out the front door, and then
right hides under the stairs.
Yeah, and then Pete breaks through the basement door.
So now we have breaking and entering.
Yeah.
Again, Pete's a psycho.
What are you doing?
He's breaking into the murder house, and even the way the guy talks like a serial killer. Hey, where are you? Hey, where are you? Like pitch black, not even trying to turn the lights on. Hey, what you doing over there? Please come.
Trying to make it seem like he was the killer to make that ending kind of more of a swerve.
Yeah, police come. They said they were only going to be 5 minutes away. It took them a little bit longer than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It was five movie minutes.
You know, they had to stop at red lights and stuff, you know, obey the laws.
Yeah, you know how the police like to, yeah, you know the police. Yeah. And stumble across a scene. Jesse and Peter's dead body over her. I guess she fainted. That was quite a scene to show up to. Two dead bodies in the bedroom, a dead Peter and a alive but shocked Jesse.
Yeah. Right.
They don't say that she killed Peter, but
I think she did.
Killer, yeah.
Did it because you even hear, yeah, she did because she had the poker and you hear.
And
I looked up wiki as well. The wiki does say that she did kill him,
yeah.
Thinking that he was the killer, which who wouldn't?
Yeah.
So now it's a frenzy. You know, you have, I guess word travels fast because there were reporters out there like within the hour.
Yeah.
Right.
Trying to take pictures.
No one checked the attic.
Claire's dad is fainting. Yeah, and those bodies still remain unfound. The two, Mrs. Mack and Claire. Those bodies are still up in the attic. Because even after all of these dead bodies, and now we don't know where Miss Mack and Claire is, they still don't think, well, maybe we should check the whole house.
Or just look up from outside and see Claire checking them out.
Yeah, yes. Just checking them out. Like
I mean, these are, you can't tell it's Claire, but you'll see an outline of a person like, hey, who the hell is that in the attic?
That's hilarious. There's a dead body up there. Is that Claire? I can't tell. If it's not Claire, I mean, it does look like a dead body, but I can't tell if it's Claire or not. Let's move on.
Maybe they just left their decorations up from Halloween. It's kind of, yeah, let's not kill their vibe and ruin it.
And I guess somehow Billy managed to scurry. I keep calling him Billy. That's what his name was in the
26th universe. Yeah.
Yeah. Somehow managed to run back up the attic. I don't know how he's getting up this attic.
At least in 2006, they kind of show you.
Dude.
That he was.
He was in the walls in that movie. He somehow managed to jump up through the attic floor from like the second floor. You have to be, give it another chance, Christopher. If you put yourself in the right frame of mind, put yourself in the frame of mind that Alyssa puts herself in for this, and you'll laugh hysterically at it.
Yeah. Just go and just have fun with it. Make fun.
I'll try it tonight. I'll give it another go.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, and that's how it ends with, this is the same thing that they did with, what is that, Summer of 84, where all this commotion's happened. All right, let's just everybody leave now.
Yeah.
Let's just, even they said we don't, I think the dead bodies are still in there because they said that they couldn't, like, take them all at once.
Yeah.
All two of them.
Take them to, like, yeah, the city hospital or something because the morgue in this college town can't handle three bodies.
Yeah, they can't handle three bodies.
Because it's not the five, because two are undiscovered, so it's just three bodies they can't handle.
And then everybody, including police, everybody just, they just leave. They just leave. And she's passed out on the bed, and they're like, ah, you'll be good to talk to her in four. So you're just going to let this woman, like, just wake up, like, and 4 hours later, like, just an empty house? Like, the last thing that she remembers was getting attacked. And then waking up in bed, you're just going to let her just wake up to like an empty house with nobody there.
Right.
Have some leftover dead bodies.
Find leftover dead bodies and a bunch of reporters standing outside wanting to talk to her. Anyway, that's Black Christmas. And thoughts? Dave, where does this rank in your in on all three?
It's probably because of the significance it has in like horror history. It's the best one, I would say. And it's also like kind of close to like one of the better Christmas horror movies.
I feel like we need to, all right, and Christopher, I as if I need to ask you,
I love this movie.
you love this movie.
I love it.
Is this your definitive like Christmas horror?
Yeah. And then Gremlins.
And then Gremlins. Violent Night's up there for me.
Yeah.
Although that's not really horror. All right, Alyssa, I feel like I need to give you some time to go ahead and say your entire piece on this here.
It is just so non-believable. So I think that part is really challenging for me. And also like last like I just it's not entertaining to me. Like last night I tr we tried to watch it again just so we could brush up and I fell asleep. Like I can't even stay awake for it.
I got to tell you, because Christopher was so excited that he loves subjecting you to this, because I guess he
Of course
knows
he
you hate it
does.
so much.
Of course he does. So when we were first dating and together, we would watch like horror movies and he would scare me during the horror movie so
Oh,
much. It was awful.
that's sweet.
It's fun. We're past that now, but now we're into the whole he's subjecting me to torture movies.
Jump scares and torture movies is his love language.
Exactly. Exactly.
So next time he jump scares you, you just go, "Aw."
All right. It's endearing.
Yeah.
Except for when I like
You know,
smack
I
you.
don't just jump scare anybody, you know.
Yeah.
Out of love.
You know, I would have to say that this is definitely of the three. It's definitely the better movie of the other if we're comparing it to 2006 and 2019. But for some reason, that 2006 one still, like, if I had all three of them, I'm still probably gonna pop on the 2006 version
Yeah.
more than anything. Even though I can say that this one was definitively better. This one actually had funny parts in it,
Yeah.
actually had believable characters. Well, to an extent, believable characters.
Yeah.
And I wasn't cringing whenever, you know, people. The only parts I were cringing at was Billy on the phone.
Yeah.
Just whenever he was going through his shtick of, again, like I said, it sounds like any kind of like online lobby whenever you're playing a Call of Duty or something.
Yeah. But I like the fact that they never show us who Billy is and plays with that fear. Could have been anyone.
We just see his eye and a silhouette of his haircut.
Yeah.
Right.
Could be anybody. Could be your neighbor.
Maybe it's still Peter. Maybe it was
Could be
Peter.
Sergeant Nash. Who
Maybe.
knows?
Talking about the evolution of which I don't know if I want to if or did we spoil exactly what the twist was for 2019 with Christopher?
No.
I don't know. Do you ever plan on watching it?
After what you guys described, probably not.
Then
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and spoil it for you because
All right.
we went from it didn't need to be anything more than a pleasant horror a slasher movie. They turned it into because it takes place at a sorority, and the reason why this person or this it ends up being that the frat house is going around killing these sorority girls.
They're getting infested with supernatural goop that's making them kill sorority girls.
Oh,
From the
they.
bust of the head of the founding member of the fraternity,
Yeah.
there was like some black goop that was coming out, and once it touches you, it turns you into a misogynist.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that's the reason why all of these frat boys are going around like killing the sorority girls.
Yeah.
And at the end, they basically burn down the fraternity, and I'm sitting here like, so those guys are pretty much like okay guys. They're just cursed, right? You're just pretty much killing these dudes, right?
Right.
And the fact that they made stuff that is a legitimate problem in college campuses, like date rape and stuff that goes on in fraternities, in certain fraternities, the fact that they made it, oh, it's because they were cursed by this black goop,
Yeah.
kind of undercuts some actual serious stuff that you could have been tackling.
Yeah.
Right.
Kind of like what I was saying with the abortion topic here,
Yeah,
this
legitimate
actually felt
topic.
real.
Yeah. A real conversation that a college couple would probably have in college, like, hey.
Yeah, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
It was just weird when you watch 2019 and you see that was the big twist. and you're like, how did we get here? And
like, who wrote this and thought this is gonna be good? And then somebody. You just kind of feel bad for the guys. You're like, most of them didn't have control of their body, and they were just
plus you destroyed the bust, so wouldn't they have been like now broken free of the curse?
Yeah, when you light the fire, I think they might be free from the curse, so you're just burning a bunch of guys alive for...
All you did was just burn a frat house. But, yeah, I mean, watch at your own risk, if you feel like it. But,
yeah, well, I'm going to put 2006 on tonight.
Okay, just, if you get to, yeah, just get into her mind frame, and then be like, okay, that's just ridiculous. Yeah. Why would you do that? Why don't we rate this thing? Why don't we rate this bad boy?
Well, this is going to be a little tough to rate.
You know the general thing. It's three separate things, technical, story, and enjoyment out of 10, and we'll add them up and kind of give it an average here. Technicals.
Technical? How do you grade
a 70s slasher?
Yeah.
Like film quality?
Yeah.
Well, technicals is like sound quality, editing, camera shots type stuff. I gave it like a 6.8. I thought it was, for the time, the 70s, it was pretty good. It had some good transition shots that I thought were pretty cool. And it was pretty quiet too, which I always appreciate. Like, not a lot of musical scores.
Yeah, I'd probably give it a 6.5.
What was that?
I'd probably give it a 6.5.
Okay. I said 6.8. For a 70s slasher, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give it a 6 too. It's hindered by the time, obviously.
Yeah.
Story. So I put like characters, story, as well as performances in this one. Story, I gave it a 6.5.
Okay.
I think some of the acting was, especially Jesse. I think a lot of her delivery, I don't, oh, Alyssa, you're part of this too. What do you give it?
A one.
A one for even on technicals?
I mean, all right, fine. Technicals, maybe a 5.
Okay. 5 on technical. I was like, wait a second. There's 4 of us here. story for me. Actually, I'll say 6.3, because as I was saying some of the stuff out loud, some of the stuff was kind of like, wait a second, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But then again, you do have to do suspend your disbelief. But I don't know. I think the biggest thing, my two big things was just her delivery and... I don't know.
I'd probably give it a 6.5.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's a decent story. You can follow it all the way through. And I like that they leave some of it open to interpretation of how you want to take it, so.
And now that I know that it predates When a Stranger Calls, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
They did that, the whole it's coming from inside the house thing. Christopher?
I'm going to go with an 8.
8?
Yes, I love this movie.
It's a good movie. I'm glad that I got to, it took us so long to finally watch the original, or for me to watch the original. Unfortunately, I think that your 8 is going to be a little offset by, what are you going to give it there, Alyssa?
1.
I think it's going to be a little offset.
Yeah. And then, enjoyment. I'm probably going to give it a 7 for enjoyment. This is what we can see.
She's cringing over here.
Watching every Christmas season.
I wouldn't go so far as to say I would watch it every Christmas season. Even as a slasher, it's not my favorite slasher. Although, like I said, I thought it had a lot more humor in it than a lot of the other ones did. And it felt a lot more realistic than the other ones did. But for some reason, I still get pulled back to that 2006 one, as ridiculous as it is. I'm gonna say 6.5 as well on enjoyment.
6.5.
Wow, she's disgusted. I'm sticking with my 8, and I think we all know where Alyssa's gonna go.
Yeah,
I'm sure she's going to be very fair and say something along the lines of a 5.
Oh, I'm giving it a 0.1.
0.1.
Oh, jeez.
Harsh.
Have we ever given like a what was our lowest like score that a movie that we've ever given? Is it Soul Survivors?
Was still our lowest, and we gave that like 1s and 2s across the board.
Which one was that? Was that Soul Survivor?
Soul Survivor or Hanukkah?
Or Hanukkah? Yeah. Hey, Maybe y'all should, maybe instead of watching Black Christmas, y'all should watch Hanukkah instead.
We can try.
Hanukkah, if he has Sid Haig in it, I think that was his last movie.
Yeah.
Oh.
At your own risk. That was, I think that might be the movie that I've watched that was probably the most painful for me to watch. So, hey, yeah, have a nice date night and watch Hanukkah.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah.
So point one, you say?
Yeah, zero, definitely.
Alyssa has the final word.
Yeah.
Black Christmas, point one. Wouldn't watch again unless my husband makes me.
Exactly.
Which will be next year.
Which will be next. Honey, you said I get to pick the movie tonight.
Right?
Right.
Darn, I never should say that.
All right, all our scores averages. Black Christmas gets a 16.925.
Just out of curiosity, if it was between just us three.
All right,
what would it have been?
Are just you out of curiosity. Skewed?
And I got to ask Chris, does she have one where she's like, all right, you made me watch Black Christmas? Well, you're watching this. Is it Twilight?
No, it's... And I've grown fond of it, but it was Love Actually.
Oh, I hear that's pretty bad.
it is really bad, but it's become a Christmas tradition.
Isn't it all about couples like cheating on each other? And
yes, it's horrible.
And people trying to sleep with their employees.
Yes, and people trying to sleep with their best friends' wives. But what?
But it's so sweet. Some of the things are so sweet.
Yeah. It's so sweet if you get over the adultery part.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Between the three of our scores, it goes up to a 20.53
repeat. I'm sorry. I know that probably just hurt to hear. But the definitive score has to be the 16 because we are fair and we do count it as a collective.
Yeah. I should have done a negative number. Darn.
Yeah, it was in your court. You could have. I guess anywhere between 30 and negative 30, you could have had.
Right. There you go.
Well, now you know for next time.
Exactly. If I have another bad movie, I'll give it a negative 30.
Well, I'm sure we all do still appreciate you getting on and bearing with us and putting yourself through what I'm sure was an hour. Well, if you include us talking about it, I guess 3 hours of torture. That's the laugh of a psychopath.
Exactly.
I don't see why you guys hate on Peter so much. That guy seems like a stand-up guy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So I think that with this recording, or it might have been with Stir of Echoes, this makes, I think, Christopher, I think you have the most, like, are the most frequent guest on our show.
Yeah.
Really? That's awesome.
I think it was between you and Christopher Robertson. We just like Christopher's here.
Yeah, evidently.
Yeah.
Dave, change your name.
Well, my cousin's name is Christopher, so.
We're everywhere. We're taking over. One podcast at a time. But, yeah, man, we like every time you guys come on.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, both of you guys. And maybe next time, choose a movie that y'all both like, and we'll review it.
I mean, we could always do the original My Bloody Valentine.
We could do that. Maybe you guys should watch Love Actually, and then...
Not a horror movie.
Well, that's debatable.
That's true.
We could watch Love Actually and discuss all the ways it could be turned into a horror movie.
Right.
I like it.
Meanwhile, y'all don't see the like Love Actually posters I have over here. Director's cut. The autographed head portrait of Alan Rickman, not as Snape, but as
as the cheating husband.
Yeah,
like I please don't tell me you want my autograph of another Snape one. No, your role in Love Actually.
Yeah.
Thank you guys again for taking some time from your busy schedules during this holiday season to come and hang out with us.
Yeah,
thanks for having us. We love it.
Thank you.
And be sure to let us know when those books will be available so that we can plug them, have you back on, and have a giveaway get going.
Yeah, we'll do.
Dave, you want to take us out?
Well, thank you guys for coming, and I'd like to thank everyone for listening all the way through. Have a good week, everybody.